Hi, my name is Ophélie, and you're listening to the Mama Activist Podcast, a podcast where we explore topics ranging from social justice, culture, politics, and news through deep conversation with myself, activists, humanitarians, and everyday people trying to make a difference. It's a space where we are willing to learn, grow, and be challenged collectively while highlighting activists doing amazing things in the world. From hearing new perspectives to learning new things, we are pushing for a better world, fighting for our liberation and reclaiming our power. So tune in and be a part of the movement. Hey guys, it's your favorite mama activist with your favorite baby activist back for another episode. Hi, my name is Ophélie, for those of you who don't know you, for those of you who've been following us. My journey as a mom activist for a long time, hello again. I hope that wherever you are listening to this episode from, you are okay, you are well looked after, and that you're happy. So today I'm speaking to you from Brighton. We've been back in our flat in Brighton for the past 2 weeks, so although we haven't spent that much time here, we just came back from 4 days trip in London. Went there to celebrate the birthday of the son of one of my friends I made while traveling in Tanzania. She was actually one of the best person I met when I was there. She has a daughter who has severe autism. And she's been involved in working with disabled children for a long time now. I actually want to do an episode or write an article about her and her job and how she thinks that we could improve the life of disabled children and of children with special needs in Africa, because there is not as much awareness when it comes to those conditions in Africa than in the West, in Europe or in America. So this is something that I really would like to focus more on as an advocate for Black liberation, because that liberation involves everyone, regardless of disability or ability. It includes everyone that identifies as Black. So talking to you from Brighton, we've been back and it's been nice to be back, to be back in our comfortable flat. It's possibly the main thing that I was looking for coming back to the UK, but it's not true. I have amazing friends, amazing people that I was really looking forward to see as well, but I was also looking forward to coming back to my apartment after having lived 6 months in a house without stable electricity, without water. And I do miss Africa, and I wish I could take my flat to Africa as well. I think that actually that is the only thing that is missing there, because I have everything I need there. My needs are being met, but I still have to find a place that truly feels like home for me in Afra. And I guess that's what's excited about our journey as well. We're still looking for a home. So, you know, the process of looking is a process that I actually like. But yeah, so today episode, I want to talk to you about the Unheard Refugee Voices. And by the way, Afra is here recording the episode with me. She's playing while I am recording today episode. The Unheard Refugee Voices. So the Unheard Refugee Voices was a project that I started back in 2020, because of it was born in the urge of a revolution and in response to a humanitarian crisis that was and is still being ignored, overlooked within our own continent. So the Unheard started with a passion for social change, and the purpose of making this world a safer place for Black communities living in hostile and deprived environment, as well as exposing and bearing witness to what is happening to them. So it was It was a project that I had in mind since the moment I started working with Black asylum seekers and Black refugees. And it was really to do with helping working towards building and safe spaces for communities, for Black communities, because of being constantly discriminated against because of the suffering and the marginalization. And the fact that out of all the communities who were all going through the same suffering, Black communities were still, you know, they were still not heard, you know, when it comes to refugees and how the refugees are being represented in the media. There is more, there is more sympathy for Black asylum seekers and Black refugees that are brown than there is for those who are Black. Most of the time, Black asylum seekers and Black refugees are not treated as having any right to claim asylum in Europe. So, you know, the Unheard Refugee Voices project was all about making sure to change the narrative on Black asylum seekers and Black refugees. And in ensuring that the silenced voices were being heard and sharing and telling the stories of Black marginalized communities the way that they wanted to be heard, not the way that, you know, us people from the West, privileged people, think that they should say stories should be heard. So the project was really aiming to hold space, to use storytelling as a tool to open up and share voices, to find resolutions, to cultivate understanding and resilience, and to work to ensure that realities of abuse and neglect are being exposed so that we can work as a collective to shift that reality and bring joy. And when it comes to the reality of Black asylum seekers and Black refugees, many people are unaware of the reality of those marginalized communities in refugee camps in Europe, not just in refugee camps, you know, even for the ones who are out of refugee camps. European people are just in denial of what's happening to people who don't have the privilege of holding an European passport. Here in Europe, several human rights infringements exist, and gross violation of the same human rights are constantly happening, ranging from the poor treatment of asylum seekers to the extreme police brutality unleashed on our communities, especially on our communities that are not privileged enough to have paper again. Many people are also unaware of the way that the social structures, governmental systems operate, and how those institutional and systemic structures are killing Black people who are disenfranchised because they do not have the privilege of a passport from a Western country. But it is our responsibility to recognize what is happening to our people in these so-called democratic countries that they run to for safety. It is our responsibility to recognize and to act on it. So the Unheard was also all about exposing the reality of this forced migrant to encourage the privileged to take action and support these in need of help. So all to do with like mutual aid. There's so much to be said in the need to create spaces for the most marginalized in society so as to improve social cohesion. You know, we need to re-engage using our privileges, us in the West who have privileges, and we have to restore and nourish the various connection. Yes, Afra. But yes, we have to restore and nourish the values connection that exists between people, because, you know, we believe that unless everybody is living a joyful life, none of us can really do so. Sorry, we got interrupted by Afra, but yes, really, that's what the Unheard Refugee Voices project was all about, because every person has the right of freedom, respect, equal opportunities, joy, and a safe space for themselves. So, you know, the Unheard Refugee Voices was about contributing to being that change, to being part of the people who are changing the narrative. There's no focus on Black lives suffering from colonialism and environmental disasters within refugee camps. We're seeing an increase in the focus of Black lives in the Western world, yet many more Black communities are still being ignored, like in refugee camps in Europe, where the narrative remains the same. The stories are the same, though. They are stories that tell the same tragic story of a broken and discriminatory system. So yes, the Unheard was trying to connect those narratives and show the need for changes. Because Black lives matter. And amplifying the voices of Black people is important. But even though the Unheard refugee voices has been very dormant for the past few months due to personal reasons, the work that we aim to do is still very necessary, as well as, you know, the platform that we were able to create. And I think that when it comes to Black asylum seekers and Black refugees, especially because of the recent years event like the war in Ukraine and how Black people got stranded at the border back then when everybody was trying to flee the country, really shows the importance of caring and creating safe spaces and raising awareness and documenting the experiences, the lived experiences of Black asylum seekers and Black refugees. So what have we been up to since, you know, for those past few months? I think that the project started being quite dormant around April 2022, something like this. It really started being dormant when we started our travel to Africa. So what happened is that my energy was just channeled through different things. So instead of like being actively supporting Black asylum seekers and Black refugees in Greece, we went to also supporting forced migrants in general in France, in Europe, but also, you know, going to Africa and being exposed to some of the conditions that make people flee their country in the first place. So what we saw with Afra was extreme poverty, women survivors of gender-based violence who had to flee their situation. And unfortunately, as of now, I think that fleeing extreme poverty is not considered in all countries in Europe a reason enough to seek asylum in another country. They actually see that as migrating for economic reasons. So people who state in their interview for asylum that they are running from extreme poverty tend to be classified as economic migrants, which is really fair when you see the kind of extreme poverty that we're talking about, the kind of extreme poverty that actually feels like violence. So what happened now to all the people that we supported along the year? So I just made an episode about Nina and Douglas, which were one of the first people that I got to support through my work as an advocate and as a journalist. So I invite you to go to that episode, listen to it, and if you can find the article that I wrote about Nina and Douglas and their journey of going through hell, basically. Them coming to Europe, asking for asylum, the whole process, the whole journey that it took them to finally find safety. And they are not there yet. They are still walking toward there. But as of now, they are safer than when they arrived. But that whole journey has been horrific, has felt like hell for them. So the people that we have helped through the Unheard Refugee Voices project are still there. Some of them were able to regularize their situation, on dit en français, we say in French, regularize, I think in English. It sounds right, but maybe it's me just having a French word and making it sound English. But so a few of the people that we were able to support through the project are actually with papers. Their situation, their asylum claim was accepted. A couple of them are still undocumented and with irregular situation, and are trying to cross borders to find a country that would accept them. And for those that we have supported through the Unheard Refugee Voices that are currently experiencing some kind, this kind of instability is very harsh. We recently just met with a friend of us that we met back in Lesbos and that we got to support through the page. When I say we, I say me and the collective of people that are behind me and supporting me on that journey. So this person, when we left them in December 2020, they were about to receive their final decision. And now they are in Paris and they still haven't had their asylum claim accepted. So they are still searching for that stability, that safety, that yes, you can now settle here, you can have documents, you can integrate, you can have your dignity back, and you can rejoin life as a normal person. As a normal person, I mean as a documented person. And that small detail, that small piece of paper makes such a difference in the life that one will have, whether that life is going to be negatively or positively impacted. But yes, so Nina and Douglas are now in France. The couple that we got to help back in 2020, couple of Douglas and Nina. Douglas, who got stabbed at the time we met them, and Nina, who was pregnant and who also had to endure violence at the end of the European immigration system. So same, you know, when we were in Greece with them, their situation was quite horrific in terms of and traumatic. And now they are doing better. They are in France. They got their asylum claim accepted in Greece, but they are now trying to settle in France because Greece, you know, it doesn't hold nice memories for them. But yes, most of the people that we supported through the Unheard have reached other countries, either legally or illegally, and are all trying to settle in their new countries. For those who don't have papers, you know, they are trying as best as I can to regularize, to have documents. And it's hard. So in terms of support, you know, they are still in need of support. As of the people that we were financially supporting, we have stopped for most of them, but we are still supporting single mothers living in Athens or living in a camp. There is a mother that we are supporting every month, and other people that just reach out to us, and then we'll offer one-off support. Before, we had way many more women that we were supporting monthly, but as their situation changed, and my situation changed, I think it was harder to keep the project going as active as before. But so this is something that I really want to put effort and energy into making sure that, you know, even though my focus is shifting from marginalized Black communities in Europe to the path of liberation of African Black people, I still want to be active in supporting the people from Africa and all over the world that are fleeing war, persecution, conflict, and extreme poverty, but who are trying to migrate to Europe, where all the money is, you know, because they stole all of our natural resources that are worth millions. Anyway, but I still would like to support asylum seekers and refugees and forced migrants in general in Europe, all over Europe, because, you know, their situation is hard. Like, their voices are being silenced every day. There was a woman who recently died, a black woman, really young as well. I don't have all the details in mind, but I remember reading the article not long ago, and she died at the border. You know, she had a partner. She died in a country where she knew no one. It was very hard for her partner to hear about what happened, and he hasn't even located the body yet as well. So how horrible, you know, this is the reality of our people that are not only being silenced in Europe but are also being killed. So even though the project is still not as active, it's quite dormant, we are still trying to raise awareness, to be aware of what's happening, what the situation here. We are keeping active in different spaces where we were doing that work, not necessarily on social media, but in other places. And we are still in touch with all of our lawyers' friends working on asylum cases, of like founders of organizations supporting refugees who are still active on the island or working in France or in the UK. But, you know, we are still, I am still trying to do my best and to talk about those voices that are being made silent, but not only talk about them, make sure that they are being heard. So bring their voices with me, almost tell those stories, show the stories that I was able to record, the voices that I was able to listen to, share that knowledge, that the stories that I carry with me as well is one of my duty when it comes to an advocate, and especially because of everything that I've experienced, everything that I saw, and the way that I was supporting, and the thing I saw supporting black asylum seekers and black refugees in crisis situation. So yeah, so we are still there. If you would like to support us with financially supporting black single mothers on the island or in the mainland, we are trying to send to support as many people as we can with monthly rent. And yeah, so you can get in touch, of course. You can find me in my Instagram, Ophelie, OPHELIELK. Don't hesitate to send me a text. You can also try to reach out to me through Moja 2 or through FMB Radio by reaching out to them and letting them know you want to talk with the Mama activists. Yeah, that's it for the Unheard Refugee Voices for now. I think that slowly but steady, I would like to completely close the project, but still have that awareness and still support people who are trying to do the same. And rather than close it, I would love to hand it over to someone else, you know, to have someone who is living in Greece, who is part of the community, just do it, you know, just use that platform, use the work that we already did, and build on it. Try to do something better, especially because, you know, there is generations that are going to come from the asylum seekers that became refugees that settled in Greece, because that's where they could get the asylum claim accepted. They could get papers. So there will be generation of children coming after that. And, you know, we need to bring awareness for them to, like, have a better future, you know, to not face as much systemic racism, violence, as their parents did. So there is a duty there. But yeah, that's going to be it for the little update on the Unheard Refugee Voices. But the Unheard Refugee Voices of Europe do need to be heard. They need amplifying, they need their story told, and they need to be more than just faces, they need to be faces, they need to be humanized, they need to be protected. And it is our duty, especially when it comes to black asylum seekers and black refugees, it is our duty as a black community in Europe to make space for them. Anyway, I'll see you in the next episode, but please, you know, just remind yourself that our comfort was built on the suffering of black people, whether you are black or not. If you are living in Europe and you have privileges, you know, you are closer to that whiteness than people who have no paper, and so you are enjoying certain privileges. So also question yourself and what having those privileges mean for other communities. Anyway, that's it for me, guys. I will see you in the next episode.